Professor Sinngal, thanks so much for being with us today and sharing some of your views. You are, of course, a panel member on Medicines for the 21st Century, and we'd like to just get some of your views and experience that we can share with potential attendees. So I'd like to ask you, first of all, just to say something about yourself and your thoughts of innovation in the NHS.
Hi, Hedley. It's so nice to be interacting with you. Thank you for this opportunity. So I'm Keshav Sinngal. I'm an orthopedic surgeon working in Bridgend and in Cardiff. I got involved in this because I think that it's very important that we constantly innovate, because by innovation, we try and number one, make better efficiencies, reduce the cost, and improve the lives of our patients. So in terms of innovations, there are a few things which we've already done, which was rather against the established convention. That is, we work backwards by identifying the need and moved ahead very, very quickly. So for example, we set up a program called Enhanced Recovery After Surgery. And in the normal course of events, there would have been a number of obstacles about running it past this committee or that committee and so on. But we knew that the program was not using any new or untried medicines, and each component of the program already had proven efficacy and safety. It was only a matter of bringing all of those together. And we were able to basically run a small pilot and demonstrate its efficacy to all the people who had some serious concerns or doubts. And within a couple of months, when they saw how well it worked and how it got the patients walking, within 2 hours after major surgery, that it got embedded very quickly in our hospital. And within, I'm quite proud to say, within 6 to 9 months, it got embedded across all of Wales. So this was because we started looking at it from the point of view of the patient. What is keeping the patient in the bed after major surgery? It is clear it was pain, and it was post-operative nausea and vomiting. So the old concept was to give opioid medication to relieve the pain, and that in turn increased the nausea and vomiting. And that in turn kept them in bed because they were also feeling quite woozy after the opioids. So the first thing was, of course, change the opioids to something less sedating, and then use a lot of local anesthetic infiltration to give them a good pain-free window for 24 to 48 hours. And this not only reduced the pain, it also reduced the post-operative nausea and vomiting. And a simple thing like this got them out of bed within a couple of hours. We then thought, what is the need for using a drain after a major surgery? It's just sucking out all the blood. So we started infiltrating the wound with a local anesthetic solution augmented with adrenaline and doing meticulous hemostasis. So for 4 years now, we haven't used a drain. And a corollary of that is our blood transfusion rate went down from 30% to nearly 0.5%. So small components, small things, small innovations, all coming together. And that is what's the importance of innovations to make things better in the NHS.
Wow, that's really interesting. You're obviously challenging the status quo every step of the way to make sure that it was efficient and effective as possible. And with our conference, obviously, we will be challenging the status quo. Just like to ask, you're obviously heavily involved in the conference. Why did you want to get involved, and what benefits do you think there could be for the NHS and other stakeholders?
The benefits, if we can pull this off, are enormous. So the two benefits I see are, one is cost efficiency and efficacy, and second is improved medicines. Because let's face it, in the Western world, medicines are extremely costly. And we can explain part of it by explaining it away to the research and development cost. But having said that, we need to realize that majority, a huge majority of the drugs that go to the R&D program end up being bent and are never brought for public use. So why are we wasting so much money on research and development when they don't even see the light of the day? So is there a better way of actually identifying the problem, identifying what medicine you need according to the program, according to the problem, and then somehow devising a way of going through majority of the R&D issues without clinical trials or without costly interventions. For example, if you're trying to make a new car, you don't go out and develop prototypes of multiple models. You go and refine it on the computer, on CAD CAM or whatever designing thing is there. You take the advantage of existing knowledge, you refine it, you tweak it, and then you come out with one model which hits the streets. I think R&D in pharmaceuticals probably needs to follow a similar pattern of concentrating all the knowledge into one stream, which then is taken to fruition. The second advantage, of course, is that once we do that, we're going to release a lot of this wasteful money back into the system, which in turn will drive the cost of the medicines down. And NHS, as we know, is extremely under pressure, financial pressure, and anything that we can save that way would be welcome.
Professor Singh, those are wise words indeed, and I totally endorse those words. So thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us, and let's look forward to a great conference. Thank you.
All the best, Henley. Thank you for giving me the chance.